Morning. So great to be here. I'm new in this role, so I am already going to extend a request of grace because I know what I want to say and I know what needs to be said. But oftentimes it was funny because I said to Daniel, you know, I'm open to criticism. And he says, well, yeah, you're a talker. So keep on task. So if you see him leave, he's probably going to get that big hook or something. But I'll be happy to introduce Daniel later. We're thrilled to have you open your doors to us. And I think you're going to really feel the presence of God, not because of what I do, but because of what he's done in our lives. And we'll be sharing more of that later. I had no intentions of doing this morning, but this was my devotion. And so we are going to be hearing a lot about God's love. And so I thought this was very, very timely from my devotion this morning is June 9th, seek to live in my love, which covers a multitude of sins, both yours and others. Wear love like a cloak of light, covering you from head to toe. Have no fear, for perfect love decimates fear. That's good. Look at other people through lenses of love. See them from my perspective. This is how you walk in the light, and it pleases me. I want my body of believers to be radiant with the light of my presence. How I grieve when pockets of darkness increasingly dim the love light. Return to me, your first love. Gaze on me in the splendor of holiness, and my love will once again envelop you in light. I just think that's so beautiful. Teen Challenge, yeah. How many of you here this morning have heard of Teen Challenge? Just raise your hand. Nice, oh, Ruth, I know. God bless Ruth. She came to the table saying, I've referred so many people there. That's what we want to hear when we enter into a new church. So for those of you who don't know much about us, we are a 12-month faith-based addiction recovery and discipleship program. It's residential. You are in, well, it's healing beyond measure. It's lockdown because life as you know it needs to change. And so therefore you spend one solid year in the Word and overcoming your hurts, your habits, any hang-ups, in order to be able to have the productive life that God had always intended for you. Now, it started, we're not new. This ministry has started over 60 years ago. Crossing the Switchblade, does that ring any bells to anybody? The book or the movie? Yeah? Okay. So this is where Teen Challenge started. A pastor by the name of David Wilkerson, back in the late 50s, was burdened for all of the drug and gang life that was happening within the Brooklyn area. So much so that he started the very first Teen Challenge in Brooklyn, New York, focusing on getting some of these teens who really didn't have a chance based on family circumstances or you name it. There's many reasons why addiction permeates families, but First House started in Brooklyn. Today, we are in over 150 countries, and we have over 1,400 centers throughout the world. It is a global healing organization. We have 18 in Canada alone, and I'm a graduate from one of the women's centers located in Abbotsford, BC, and I'm going to be really excited to share my story with you a little bit later. Teen Challenge is focused on helping people heal and be able to give back to this beautiful world that's been created through having productive lives. After going through so much pain, being able to take that and turn it into what it is for His glory. We are thrilled to have one of the most successful rates of recovery, whereby 65% of people that graduate remain free from any type of substance abuse. And that really is a big deal because that's a really big number when you look at how many people are affected globally. So we are thrilled about that. It is not what any one center does. It is clearly the Jesus factor. And that is the one who provides that the houses are necessary for us to enter into so we can meet with him face to face and let him do the fixing. And he does. And it can be a little messy, but at the end of the day, it's a good story. We don't receive any government funding because we are faith-based. We could receive millions of dollars because of our success rate if we gave up the Jesus factor, and we are not prepared to compromise that. So, I guess just to explain some of the numbers, in order for a student to enter into and complete the program, it costs the student $1,000. That's it. That is for the entire 12 months of the recovery program. That covers everything from the academic to the spiritual counseling to any sort of medication or physical needs that may have to be addressed when you enter into the program. It's phenomenal that all of that is all that's required of the student. When we look at actually crunching the numbers, if you will, it's about a $45,000 to $50,000 investment in order for the student to get 1 year of Teen Challenge. So that's why we are so privileged to be able to create awareness about the importance of what God is doing and how we are hungry to find people who are prepared to partner with us in a very small way, because a lot of small becomes really great and vast and when you're talking kingdom mentality. I am referring to notes, and I'm sorry if you think I'm trying not to be distracting, but there's so much I need to share with you. The curriculum studies within the Teen Challenge program within 1 year is the equivalent of 2 years of Bible college. So that speaks to the intensity of how we really dive into that which God has given us. I refer to it as my sword, because there is a tremendous amount of everything we need to know, recovery or not, within that book. So in the U.S., it is recognized academically. Canada is working on that. So that too, is very exciting. We know that addiction does not discriminate. It infiltrates every age group. It infiltrates every culture or social standing. It is clearly an epidemic. And because I stand before you today saying, I was in a place that was less than what I wanted people to know about, because that's what darkness does. But I also stand in front of you, no shame, and with the freedom to be able to say, that's who I was, this is who I am, and this is why you need to know about it. So we're not going to glorify evil in any way this morning. We're going to celebrate the goodness of our God. And I want to introduce to you Daniel. It's really power-packing opportunities for us to come stand before you and share with you personal testimonies of where we've been, where he's brought us. We don't know how it's going to end up looking, but it's already so much better this way. So Daniel, if you want to come on up, please. Daniel is a graduate, when he'll tell you more, but he has graduated from the Alberta Men's Center. And I'm going to say, as is my son, Matt, who's unable to be with us this morning. Matt and Daniel were able to spend a month together in the program. So it does become family in a real hurry. So I just want to pray with you before you share. So, Father, you are such a good God, and you're real, and you are who you say you are. And I just want to thank you for the boldness that you have placed in our hearts to share about what you've done in our lives in only a way that you could do. So I pray a blessing over Daniel as he reveals your truth this morning. Amen.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chris. Good morning, church. How are we doing today? Doing good, yeah. Beautiful church, by the way. This is just amazing. It reminds me of what I grew up in, a little church in Edmonton as well. I'm from Edmonton, born and raised. But like Chris was saying, my name is Daniel. I'm 27 years old. I'm almost 28 now. And I graduated the program back in October, just of last year. And it's been amazing. The things that God's been doing in my life is just You know, I would tell it to some people, and they'd be like, no, that's not true. There's no way that could happen because it's supernatural, right? We believe in the supernatural. We don't believe in natural. So what God's been doing in my life has been absolutely fantastic. But like Chris was saying, I want to share a little bit about my testimony. I mean, I only have a little bit of time with you guys this morning. If you want to hear more, you can come talk to me after. But I'll give you the Reader Digest version, I guess. So born and raised over here in Canada. And originally, my family's from Portugal, so I'm first generation here. So when I was young, you know, I had a great family, good upraising, you know, just a loving family. They didn't really know the faith when we were young because we grew up Catholic. It was a little different, but I'm not saying anything bad about Catholicism or anything, but it was not the greatest for me. There's a lot of fear of the Lord and not about the love of the Lord. But growing up, I had a brother. I still have a brother, and I have two cousins as well, which are the same age group, and no, we were the best of friends. But they moved back to Portugal when I was 6 years old, and it really just destroyed me. I felt really hurt inside because they were my best friends. And my brother, which is a good guy today, and we hang out and talk all the time, but back when I was young, he was my biggest enemy because he bullied me insanely. So I had this complex in my heart of, you know, this is my own brother, my flesh and blood. How does he treat me like that? So I started to create a darkness within me, and I felt really rejected, neglected, and alone. But as I grew up, I had a good childhood, you know, good parents, you know, loving Christian parents, because we became Pentecostal after, so we were always yelling and praising the Lord. So it was good, you know. I was joking with Chris this morning, like 3-hour worship services, only. So it was good, but I had a lot of darkness that was building up within me, because I was bullied a lot by my brother. I was bullied a lot at school. And I was always known as the happy kid, so I always bottled that inside, right? And that's what the devil wants to do to us. And I learned through Teen Challenge that the devil wants us to keep that inside. He uses that against us, and he wants that to be, he uses that as a, just to keep us down, you know, offense. He uses, you know, just anger and hate instead of love, right? But I had a lot of things happen to me when I was young. I was abused a lot physically. People bullied me, like I said. I was sexually assaulted when I was young, too, around 11 and 12, and by a close family member, so it made me very confused inside as well. And I didn't understand how to process that because I wanted to tell somebody, but I didn't know who to tell because it was family. But she, unfortunately, was also dealing with drugs, and she was in heavy, heavy drugs herself, and she didn't even know what to do with her life. So she unfortunately passed away when she was 27. And, you know, it's been a tragic, you know, death for her. But, you know, big part of my story. So anyways, I kept that bottled inside. And I felt really isolated from the good people at school. So I decided to kind of act out. So when I was young, I started experimenting with drugs. I was saying about grade 7. I used marijuana for the first time. And then when I got to grade 10, I started using some harder drugs like cocaine. And it was just a little bit here and there. It was just, you know, to try it out. It didn't really have a hold on me. But you know, I loved the party life, and I started partying quite extensively in grade 11, grade 12. And just all about having fun, going out and just doing a lot of things with a lot of people. And it just letting a lot of darkness come into my life. And I noticed that with me, more and more dreamings and attacks, trying to get to sleep was a lot. It was difficult. So sometimes I would stay awake 4 or 5 days because enemy was really strong in my life. I dealt with oppression and possession. And it was a dark time in my life. And then Jesus, I had an encounter with Jesus, and he literally came in my life and revealed himself to me. So if anybody in the crowd today is thinking to themselves, is Jesus actually real or exists? I'm living proof that he is real. I felt him. He saved me. He pulled me out. But little did I know that my life was going to take a big change, a turn for the worse, because the devil, the enemy, he lost his grip on me through the possession, but through oppression, he made drugs in my life, number one. So a lot of things was happening in my life. My brother completely abandoned me, didn't want nothing to do with me. My cousins that I grew up with didn't want to talk to me. My family didn't want to talk to me. And I was dealing with a very toxic relationship in my life. And I was dating this girl for 5 years. But at the beginning, we broke up, and I just felt completely destroyed inside, and I had a nervous breakdown. And I didn't know it then, but through going to Teen Challenge and just going through counseling and releasing it, I felt so much freedom by speaking it. And then I figured out and realized that I had something really psychological happen to me. And ever since that day, I never had a reason to live anymore. I felt really broken and destroyed, and that's when I started to actually abuse drugs. Before, it was just, I used it here, used it there, but that's the gateway. That's what they want you to do, just a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, and then eventually it grabs you. So I started becoming a binge user, and what that is you're not a daily user, but you have cycles. So with me, I had these cycles of 6 months, 8 months, I would be good, living life, being productive, you know, going to school, doing work, and then I would fall. I would collapse, and the enemy's presence in my life just became so strong that I couldn't even cope with myself. But when I turned 26, I told myself, I'm done living this lifestyle. I'm done living this life. I didn't want to live it anymore. So I checked myself into the Teen Challenge program, and it's been absolutely amazing. I can sit up here and talk for like hours, but you guys have a tournament to go to. But it's really hard to say because it's so amazing. Like I'm pretty sure Chris can talk about it too. The life changing aspect of Teen Challenge, that really brings you closer to what God wants for us. He wants His children back. He wants us all back, and the devil doesn't hate me. He hates God, right? So he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy His creation, His children, and he doesn't care what he does to us in his life, or in our life. He just wants to hurt God, and God wants us back, and I've learned that through Teen Challenge, like Chris was saying, a discipleship program, you know, just being in the Word daily and having daily devotionals, morning and in the evening. It's just amazing program itself. So, you know, back in the day, I used to say to myself, what's the point of life? I used to always think out loud and be like, what's the point of waking up? What's the point of living? What's the point of anything? Because just so much hate in this world. It's crazy the amount of hate. But you know what? Even atheists recognize that, the amount of hate. And then even atheists themselves, they say love is the only thing that can beat hate. Coming from an atheist. But I've learned how to love and how to love others truly within my heart. And I can say I love everybody here because I feel God's love within me, and I got that through Teen Challenge, and it just, once again, an amazing program. I have so much more stories. Like I said, that's like a bit. I don't have my sheets in front of me, so I'm just kind of spitballing here, but you know what? It's an amazing program. I wish that and everybody and anybody that's struggling with addiction or anything mental health related would know about this program. So like Ruth was saying, you know, she's referred people before to the program, and it's an amazing program. You know, David David Tate works with the program. He says that Teen Challenge is Alberta's best kept secret. And I just think to myself, why is that? Why is it a secret? We should be strong and we should be bold and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is the saving factor. Because the pills, the needles, the drugs are so strong, but Jesus is the strongest. You know, Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. There's so many verses like that. But I'm going to leave you with my favorite verse here. One of my favorite. I mean, I can, there's so many, right? But from Habakkuk. So, even though the fig trees have no blossoms, even though there's no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. And that just, it held me really close, and I would read that daily, because even when everything is going wrong,
our strength is in the Lord. Thank you so much.
Good job. Can we give him a hand? That was good. That's a privilege for me. I had never heard Daniel's testimony before. You know, we work events together. We attend events together. We attend graduations together. You just become part of the family that you want to continue to be. You do life together after something like this, but that's wonderful. Thank you. It takes a lot of courage to come up here and sort of be so real and be so transparent, but we all know that when you expose something out of the darkness and you get it into the light, it has nowhere to hide. So, well done. Well done. My testimony is, well, we all have a story. Everybody in this room has a story. And every story is equally important. I think there's different threads that run through our lives that need to be, I suppose, recognized. And some threads have more colors than others. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a good family. We were very involved in the church, very involved. My opa was a pastor, and I had two uncles who were pastors, and we were very musical. So we performed a lot, and we were required to, based on the fact that we had a lot of musical talent as a family. We did a lot of that. So performance became very important to me at a very young age. Performance combined with behaving properly and people-pleasing. As I was the oldest of four, I had three younger brothers, and it was required of me, and I am in no way, shape, or form criticizing my parents because I adore them. They just did the best they could with what they had, and they brought a lot of their learned behaviors into their parenting skills as well. But I don't recall a whole lot of joy in my childhood. I remember trying to be perfect all the time, and I was terrified of disappointing anybody. Absolutely terrified. I was the big sister, and therefore I had a job to do, and I didn't really have a vote as to whether or not I wanted that job. I remember at the age of 12, I had my very first feelings of debilitating fear of being alone, being abandoned, and being alone with myself because I may hurt myself. And yet, back in those days, now I'm dating myself, but you know, you really didn't talk a lot about those insecurities. You didn't address those kinds of fears. Children were seen and not heard. So I started carrying that on. Fast forward to my college years, I majored in broadcast journalism, and I excelled in my studies. I was a very good news reporter, but again, it's very performance-based. That's an industry where, you know, it is all about what you see, and I still never felt enough, and I still completely feared failure in any way, shape, or form. It was right around this time that I started to really engage in my rapport with my dark companion, alcohol. And I found that if I drank a bit, it really helped get that interview. It really helped with my reporting skills. My guard was down, and I had no fear, and I was going to ask you anything, and I would have that story that would take it home. And that just continued to breed the necessity that I felt within me to have this, to be drinking in order to be simply existing, if you will, and productively existing. So shortly within all of my practicum times, I met the man that I would marry. And together we have three children. Now, based on the fact that I was not prepared to move to any smaller center within Saskatchewan or Alberta to fuel my broadcast journalism degree, because now we're talking pride, and I had a lot of it, I entered into the hotel industry. And this was really where my career flourished. I was with the Westin Hotel chain for quite some time, And I really enjoyed it. We traveled to some great places, and we were able to see a lot of the world that perhaps we wouldn't have seen on any other front. But with that job came an unlimited expense account, and it was highly endorsed that you wine and dine. This is late 80s, early 90s, so wine at lunchtime was completely appropriate, and it was promoted. That was not a great blend for me. So now I have taken it one step further, and I can justify it because it's part of my job, and I have to because they expect me to. Lie. The importance that I put on myself and the importance that I put on how others perceived me and the importance I put on being, number one, at all times, put a tremendous strain on our marriage. Now, both of us had come into our marriage with very tainted belief systems, I would say, on what a healthy, loving marriage should look like, because we really didn't have the role models to base that on. We had phenomenal parents, but there was always something lacking. Looking back as a child, there just wasn't that. So we brought that into our home. Now, as I continued my social career, if you will, anger entered into our home. And abuse entered into our home on every level. And so the more I would continue my behaviors, the more anger and abuse we would experience. Thus the cycle, the toxic, destructive cycle of what addiction and pain can look like. I was really good at hiding all of this because, keep in mind, I was the master of wearing masks. I had mastered how not to let people really see the double life and all of the turmoil and pain that was going on within me, because on all fronts, from the world standards, this one had it all together. She was the one to have on your business team to build a sales team or to volunteer at any given fundraiser or community involvement. My track record showed that I was not going to meet but exceed. What wasn't seen was the absolute destruction that was happening within the deepest parts of me. In 2018, I lost my first hero, my dad. And he was my go-to on every front. He was my biggest fan, but he always kept me in check. He spoke the truth to me. And in any and all of my painful dances, Dad was the one that I could go to, seek refuge from, and help me find some sense out of really senseless stuff. So when he left this world, that was the spiral that started taking place to the pit of my drinking. All the time, hiding it, keeping jobs, trying to keep it all together, and just living a lie. One evening, I had hosted a large women's event, and there had been drinking at the event, and I arrived home, and I was intoxicated. We had an argument, and I was labeled, and I was called a drunk, and it broke me. It still does. Because suddenly, everything I had worked so hard to be wasn't there. I was being exposed, and I hated it. I could not handle what that word did to me. I swallowed 45 pills that night, and I didn't want to die. I remember the night clearly, as much as I have, I guess, blocked out, if you will. I think God does protect you from certain memories, but that one, I remember not wanting to die. I just wanted to rest. I wanted to just get rid of all of these feelings of loneliness and not measuring up, and maybe, as crazy as it sounds, we're being real here, maybe see my dad again just for a bit. So, I got out of that with a slight seizure The medical staff said, you know, you had a lot, and yet we didn't even have to pump your stomach. You were called to do something. And I believe as I stand in front of you today, I wasn't saved from something. I've been saved for something. It's good stuff, but it still hurts. So I was spared. And shortly thereafter, I fled our marriage with my three kids. That is a regret I still have today. But again, that is what happens when you're listening to lies and when you're listening to untruths and you're desperate for a change in your life. So I left. And I was determined to create a life of prosperity and a life of healing. And we were finally going to have all the joy that we had been missing out on. But I was just far too broken. I was too far gone, and my brokenness and addiction had completely taken over. So I thought I was hiding the drinking from my kids, but kids are a whole lot wiser than I think we give them credit for. So, yes, I tuck them in, and that was my time to justifiably say, well, I'm a single mom, and I'm tired, and this is mommy wine time. Lies. It's problematic. This mummy wine thing is very problematic. It opens up doors that don't need to be opened. So right around this time, my son, Matt, who was going to be here but just couldn't make it due to surgery, he was a very highly sought after baseball player. He was one of the most solid shortstop players in all of Western Canada. And due to circumstances out of his control, he had three scholarships pending, actually, full rides to U.S. colleges. And due to circumstances out of his control, did not make a particular team. And then he watched all three of these scholarships blow up. Because that's how it works, right? That's exactly how it works. He went from the most sought after shortstop in all of Western Canada to one of the most feared drug dealers within the Edmonton area within a year. So we lived in a lot of fear during that time. He was hanging with some less than godly people. He saw some less than godly things. And yet, I was still worship leading. We were still going to church. Terrible. But true. This is also very true because that's what it looks like. The people, there's hurting people everywhere. There could be some here today that are just living in fear and shame of having to tell the truth, because what would that look like? Well, look at this. This is what it looks like. It's okay not to be okay, because that's the only way you get okay. So Matt decided to go to Teen Challenge. I prayed a prayer over him, and I said, my phone rings at 3 a.m., and I don't know if it's someone asking me to come to the morgue and identify your body or what. I don't know, and I can't live like this anymore. So he said yes to the program. He went in. On a pass, he came home. He prayed the same prayer over me. I said yes, and I stand here before you. So the good news of this is there's so many components of it, but God has completely ripped away any addictive behaviors or tendencies of me. I got nothing. There is not even an inkling. I have, I stand with bold humility now. The pride is gone. The fact that I even got a little emotional in front of you, just this would have never happened, and I'm okay with it. That's what he does. The relationships that were damaged have all been restored and enhanced to a place that I could not have imagined. Now I let the one who created me be the one who defines me. And I am enough. I'm enough. I don't have to be perfect. He doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And the fact that we went through all that we went through as a family to get to where we are today is only his grace and only his doing and only his love. And then, above it all, because I graduated and I was obedient, now Teen Challenge has asked me to come and join their staff. I mean, only our God does something like that. Only our God does something like that. So, yeah, ultimately, in closing, I guess in my mess, I got his message that he is joy. He is love. He is real. He cares so deeply for each and every one of us. He really is who he says he is. He's everything. And when you give him everything, when you release and surrender, and those are big words, those are very big words for me, but when you get to the point that it's so authentic and it's so raw and it's so real and you give it all, buckle up, because what he bestows upon you is, you can't wrap your head around it, and I don't think we're supposed to, but we're just supposed to embrace it and just let it permeate through every part of us. I know that I can completely trust him. And there is no doubt in my mind that his blessings will continue to flow. I'm not worthy, but I'll take it. And I will continue to keep on keeping on. One of my very, very favorite scriptures is a blessing. That is, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. And that is what I have because of Teen Challenge. I have peace that I had never experienced. I have a security in knowing that my tomorrow is brighter than it's ever been. So all praise to him and all praise to the fact that he works so clearly through this program. I hope we've been able to communicate to you the passion we have for Teen Challenge and why. It is an opportunity, if you feel led, if God has spoken to you today through our stories, come and see us. You can sponsor a student for $40 a month. And I know some of you are sitting, I was the one sitting in a service hearing an outreach going, oh, it'll be fine. No, I am encouraging you, if you are the least bit moved to help this ministry propel to a place where it needs to be, come and see us. Do it as a Bible group. Do it as a Bible study group. Do it as a growth group. Do it as a congregation. I'm hoping to get two sponsorships today. And this is the very first girl. This young lady is in our Prairie Hope Women's Center that just opened up in March. Rebecca, do you have a couple pictures of the Women's Center? We can just sort of randomly scroll through them. This is opened up just outside of Saskatoon in Hague, Saskatchewan. It has 24 beds. And it is the most beautiful. I walked in right before it opened, and I just wept because I know what's going to be happening behind those doors. This is a home of healing, and the Spirit was just so, so present. So Nicole is graduating in 4 months, and she will be the very first graduate. Upon a $40 sponsorship, you will receive regular updates on the student you've sponsored. We have men students as well that are open for sponsorship. You get updates. You can put their picture on your fridge. You can pray for them. You will know what their specific needs are as you become part of their healing journey. The other thing you can do for us is pray, knowing that we have got people out there believing in our cause and wanting to see us get to a point where we can impact more lives like Daniel and I, which then the ripple effect is insurmountable. Families are healed. Lives are restored. It's a small price to pay. I am so grateful that we were able to come and tell our stories here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Brad, for just being so open. I mean, it was one phone call. Have you heard of Teen Challenge? Yeah, I have. And the next thing you know, here we are. And I need you to know as a congregation, shortly after I graduated, which was also in October of this past year, I was full of shame. I wasn't prepared. I didn't have the strength to walk into even my own church. As healed as I had been, it just goes to show you the layers and the amount of time it takes to get through everything. I came to Muir Lake Alliance twice with my dear friend. And the warmth and the welcome that I felt here helped me gain the strength to walk through my church's front doors, and now I hold a leadership position with them. So know that you have already made a difference, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you, and God bless you all. Pastor Brad.
Wow, that was it's quite the testimonies that we got from Daniel and Chris today. Can we pray as a church body for them that they would continue to be blessed and that their ministry would impact people? Because that's what this does, and it changes lives through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we lift up Daniel and Chris to you today, and we just thank you for them pouring out their vulnerabilities to us. As it's got to be so difficult getting up front there and sharing that and getting emotional about the decisions they've made in life. And so we pray for them that they would continue to do this, and they do this with courage and with your Holy Spirit filling them and guiding them to the places they are to go and speak. We just pray for a blessing upon each one of them. Lord, be with them in this a journey now in life as you've clearly shown yourself to them. And we pray that you clearly show yourself to them every day. And as a congregation, we pray that you would have that impact on our lives. And if we're struggling with things, that we would be a congregation that are not ashamed to share that stuff, but come forward and talk about it and deal with it and not let shame be something that keeps us from being a loving body towards one another. And we pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.